Well, how many of you have seen the classrooms that are decorated down this hallway? Seen those classrooms? Do you believe that those classrooms happened by accident? Believe that? You believe that on Wednesday night last week, they just took some paper and some scissors and some paint and they threw it in the classroom and they came back the next day and it's like that all over the walls. You believe that? That'd be fun, wouldn't it? That would be an interesting experiment. You don't believe that for a second, do you? When you walk down those classrooms and you see the intricate design that they have put into those classrooms, what do you know? Somebody's been here. Somebody's been doing something. Somebody's been at work. Why? Because God gave you a brain, didn't He? He gave you a brain, and what does He expect you to do with it? Use. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? He gave you a brain to use. Now, does God expect you to believe something without any evidence given for it at all? Do you believe that God made the world, created all things, just because somebody told you that? Just because you read it in a book? Do you believe it simply because you read it in the book? Or is there evidence to show you the reality, the truthfulness that there is a God, that He is alive, that He did make all things? God gave us a brain. He expects us to use it. Thank you for that. That's so colorful. In the field of logic, there is a law called the law of rationality. It basically says, don't believe something just because you're told it. Use the reasoning skills that God has planted within your brain to look at the evidence, to weigh and measure the evidence, and then to make a sound conclusion based upon the evidence. Those classrooms didn't happen by accident. This watch on this screen, I thought that was pretty cool looking. This watch on this screen, you believe something like that could happen by accident? There's not a single person in the world who would ever tell you that this watch happened by accident, and yet this little circle that's inside that watch, what is this little circle a picture of? The earth? But what they do want you to believe, no, this watch could not happen by accident, but this little picture of this earth, the globe, the world in which we live, oh, well, yeah. That did just happen to come about by a series of events where there was just a big bang explosion and all of a sudden we have everything that we see. If you don't believe that for a watch, how would you believe that for the world? We sang songs tonight. We have a songbook. Would you believe that any of these songs happened by accident? Would you believe that? Would you believe that some little dots and some lines and some letters just all of a sudden fell on a page and we are able to sing in harmony praise to God? You don't believe that for a second. Because where there is design, what does that demand? There's a designer. Now what we want to look at tonight, and we could go down all sorts of paths with this. We could look at the design that there is in the human body. And we could spend lots and lots of time looking at the design that is right here in your human body. That still has scientists and physicians baffled as to how this works and how this was put together. But what I want us to do tonight is just to focus in on the earth, focus in on the universe, And to ask the question, does the earth, does it show forth purposeful design. Here we live on a planet. We live within our galaxy. We live within our solar system, within our galaxy, within our universe. Is there evidence of design? Because if there is evidence of design, what does that demand? Here is a simple logical syllogism that says if the earth evidences purposeful design, there must be a designer. Well, do we have design? That's what I want to look at tonight. Most of what we're going to look at tonight is probably something that many of you have seen in some fashion before. But as we go through this, I think you need to ask the question, and then you need to answer the question, was this planned or did it just happen by accident, by chance? So let's talk about our earth. Let's talk about the location of the earth. Where is the earth located? Third rock from the sun, right? Third planet from the sun. It's interesting. I thought about putting a picture on the screen that is a picture of the Milky Way galaxy. And then out on the very extremity of the galaxy, there's a little arrow that points down and it says, "You are here." Here's this massive galaxy, and then over here at the extremity on this little nothing over, oh, that's where you are. You can't even see it. Is there any design involved in the location of this planet? Here we are, 93 million miles from the sun. Well, we're going to talk about a lot of numbers, a lot of figures in this. These boggle my mind. Who's out there with the measuring tape figuring out that it's 93 million miles? Okay? The very fact that we know that is astounding. Now, as we go through this, all of these numbers, all of these figures have been given to us by scientists, by people who study these things, by the very same people that then turn right around after determining all of these intricate pieces of design, and what do they say? Oh, just happened. How can you believe that? How can they answer that for me. How can they possibly believe that? They've studied it. They see it. How can they believe it was just an accident? They have to because they don't believe there's a God. Pat? They don't. Okay. They don't want to believe that there is a God because there is an accountability that comes along with that. If you can't walk down this hallway and look at these classrooms and walk out of there and honestly say, these happened by accident, how can individuals do that with the world? They have to be trained. They have to be taught otherwise. 93 million miles from the sun. Is that just an accidental figure? Just happened to be 93 million miles. How close would you like to be to the sun? It's got a surface temperature of 12 million degrees Fahrenheit. Yeah. How close do you want to be to that? An internal temperature of over 20 million degrees Celsius. Again, I want to know who figured that out. How many thermometers did they have to break, to figure out? It just keeps going up and up and up. What if we were a little bit closer? I mean, does the distance matter? Does 93 million miles, does that distance matter? What if we were a little bit closer? What if we were a little bit further away? How is Venus doing, by the way, as far as life is concerned? How is Venus doing with life on that planet? It's a little bit closer, right? Is that working out pretty good for Venus? I know we got the Mars rover. How much life have they discovered? They are desperate. Oh, they're desperate. They're searching for any little speck of data that would show that there might be life. Isn't it interesting? We got to go millions of miles away to search for it, and they've got design staring them right in the face, right here. 93 million miles. That's not an accident. That's by design that God put us that far away from the sun. And here is a sun that is producing more energy in 1 second than we've created since man has existed. I want you to think about that figure. The sun gives off 8 million tons of energy every second. We haven't even done that since man's been on this planet. You want to be a little bit closer to that? You want to figure out how close, you know, some people live by the rules, see how close they can get to danger. I think we'll just stay at our present course, won't you? Now, how did the earth end up 93 million miles from the sun? How could it end up at the exact distance by which life can be sustained on this earth? How did that happen? Just by accident? Because you know that there was this small mass that was floating around in space, and then all of a sudden it exploded in the Big Bang. And here we are today as a result of that catastrophic event. You got to do a lot of teaching to get somebody to buy into that. Now, when do they start that teaching or indoctrination or brainwashing or whatever you want to call it? When do they start that? Miss Teacher Sherlam, when do they start that? Second grade? Anybody want to go lower? Is it happening lower? I don't know. They know it before they get to the kindergarten Bible class here. It's on TV. Well, there you go. If it's on TV, that's truth. Why are we even here? I mean, if it's on TV, I mean, that's just a no-brainer. Apparently, right? It's a no-brainer. It's working for them. Do you think it's by sheer accident that they are teaching our children from the very earliest ages that they are a product of evolution? So that when they get to the kindergarten Bible classes and they have a teacher at church in Bible class that tells them they were made by God and not by evolution, what does that child do? No, that's not right. That's not true. They're being taught otherwise. But what does the evidence show? The location of the earth is exact. How did the earth know how to do that? How did the earth know to get 93 million miles from the sun? What about the orbit of the earth? Now, if you were designing this whole system, if you were designing our solar system, and you were to place the sun in the middle, and you were to say, okay, here's a planet, and it's going to go around that sun. Are you like me, and would you put that in a perfectly circular orbit around the sun? I mean, maybe I'm just weird, but I'd put the sun in the middle, and if this planet's going to go around, I'd make sure it'd be like a bicycle tire. You got the hub in the middle, and does the bicycle tire pretty much stay the same distance? It's supposed to, right? Does it pretty much stay the same distance away from that hub? That's what we would do. Is that the orbit of the Earth? Is that the way that it works? You see from the picture, that's not it. An elliptical orbit. Well, who cares about that? What difference does that make? What if it was like a bicycle tire? What if the sun was in the middle and we never changed our distance from the sun? Would that matter? What difference would that make? Did somebody say seasons? How would our seasons be looking if our distance never changed from the sun? You going to have any seasons? I mean, I know we live in Florida. We don't have any seasons, right? So maybe I'm not talking to the right crowd here, all right? But there would be absolutely no seasons. What difference does that make? Do you want to eat? Are we fond of eating, of having our crops to grow in season and then allow the land to rest for a period of time so that it can grow the next season? If you don't have seasons, how's your diet going to be looking? How are you going to be doing in that regard? Here's an elliptical orbit. There are times in the year where we get closer to the sun than we do in others, gives us our seasons. Do you know that the earth, when it's closer to the sun, travels a little bit faster than it does when it's away from the sun? Wouldn't you? I mean, if you're jogging on a track and you're getting a little bit closer to that 12 million degrees Celsius, wouldn't you just jog a little bit faster around it? That's what the earth does. It gets in close to the sun, to that gravitational pull, and just pulls a little bit more, and then it comes out a little bit distance, and then it comes back. How long does it take the earth to do that? That orbit? How long? 365 days. And what happens when it comes around after 365 days? Starts all over again, and it follows that same path. Now, here's the guy I want to talk to. The guy who figured out that the earth in its orbit departs from a straight line by only 1/9 of an inch every 18 miles. I want to know the guy who figured that out. What difference does that make? What difference does it make? What if it was, I mean, 1/9 of an inch? How much is 1/9 of an inch? You got your fingers? How much is 1/9 of an inch? Scientists say if it was 1/8 of an inch to get us just that much closer to the sun, we'd burn up. Well, what if it was 1/10 of an inch? I mean, that's not much. 1/9, 1/10, who cares? 1/10 of an inch, we'd freeze to death. How did the earth figure that out? How did the earth get the exact, proper, and safe orbit around the sun? By accident, right? That's what we're supposed to believe. By accident, the earth figured out only 1/9 of a mile, or 1/9 of an inch, and only do it every 18 miles. I'm sensing an idea here that this is a perfect design. The location is perfect. The rotation, the orbit of the earth is perfect. What about its rotation? Rotation of the earth on its axis. How fast does the earth move on its axis? If you were, and again, I want to meet the guy who figured this out. Figured out that at the equator, the earth is orbiting at 1,000 miles per hour. I mean, what cop is out there with his speed gun figuring out it's 1,000 miles per hour at the equator? Now, what difference does that make, 1,000 miles per hour? At the same time that the earth is spinning on its axis at 1,000 miles per hour, it's orbiting the sun. We just talked about that. It's orbiting the sun at 67,000 miles per hour. You getting dizzy? So we're going around on the axis 1,000 miles per hour, 60,000 miles per hour. The sun is going around the sun, or the earth is going around the sun. And then they have figured out that our whole solar system, sun in the middle and the planets around it, have their own orbit within the galaxy, moving at 600,000 miles per hour to take over 2 million years to even complete one circuit. Does that make any difference? Or is that just random numbers? What if we slow down that rotation a little bit? I mean, what happens? You take a ball and you spin it. Or you take a ball and you put water in it. You take a 2-liter bottle and you put water on it, and you just start spinning it. What happens if you slow that spin down? What's going to happen? Well, all the water is going to now collect down at the poles because it's not moving fast enough. Would that make any difference? How did the earth figure out the exact right rotation speed? If that speeds up, if it slows down, what marks our days? The evening and the morning were the first day. What marks our days? Sunrise, sunset. When does the next day start? The next sunrise. How long are our days? 24 hours. What is that based upon? The rotation of the earth. So what if our days were a little bit longer? How would your boss like that? How would you like that? If our days were a little bit longer, just slow down that rotation speed enough so that you can have more daylight to work. How would that work? Now, you might not like that, but that would also mean you'd have more nighttime to, well, most of you sleep. But what would happen to the rest of the earth? How's that going to work out for our crops? But what if we speed it up a little bit? You know, forget these 12-hour days. Speed things up a little bit. Make daylight not be so long. Then we won't have to work as much. How are the crops going to react to that sun, not staying up long enough to feed it? Now again, precision. How did the earth figure out how to do that? How did it figure out we are going to spin and we're going to keep spinning at this same rate, and what that's going to do is to help maintain life on the earth? I think it's Venus that we take 24 hours to make a rotation. I think it's Venus that takes 240 something days to make one revolution on its axis. How's that? 240 of our days for it to make one revolution on its axis. How's that going to work? How's that going to work for the crops when they have 240 days of sunlight and then 240 days of nothing but darkness? We just got lucky, right? I mean, you just happened to be spawned on the right planet, right? I mean, your amoeba just happened to come up in the right place, and you got here, and just by chance, aren't you the luckiest person in the universe? Forget on Earth, because you are there. That's what made you lucky. How did the Earth know how to do that? Now, here's something else that boggles my little mind. What about the tilt of the Earth? I want to know who got out there. Is that thing called a protractor? Is that what that's called? Protractor? Yes. Measure angles. I want to know who got out there with their protractor and sized up the earth 22, 23, 24. Nope, not 24. Back it up. I want to know who figured that out. And not only how they figured it out, when they got done figuring out all of these things, did they believe that there is a God? 23.5 degrees. Okay. What difference does that make? Is that the way you would have done it? If you're putting, I know you, I've seen some of you spin coins on a table. You've done that, right? Stand it up on its edge, you spin a coin. Did you spin it at 23.5 degrees? You didn't? Why didn't you do that? That'd be a little hard. I'd be impressed. I'd be really impressed if you could do that. How are you spinning it? 90 degrees, straight up and down, perpendicular. Why isn't the earth, I mean, if you're going to measure lines and angles, why isn't the earth, if it's going to be perfect, it better be straight up and down. Why isn't the earth like that? Why isn't the earth standing up on its axis? What's going to happen? You're going to have some problems. But you tilt it over. Now, how far did God know how to tilt the earth? You think he experimented with this? I mean, you'd experiment, right? Oh, getting a little too far. That water's starting to move over. Let's bring it back just a little bit. How did God know to get it right at that angle? So that, remember, it's spinning 1,000 miles per hour at a 23.5 degree angle, which is just perfect. Troy and Andrea are here. They live in the southern hemisphere. It's a little bit different than living in the northern hemisphere. If you go back, this seems a little backwards in some respects. Here's the sun, and here's the earth when it is closest to the sun, and then in its orbit, it gets over here away from the sun in the winter time. But what hemisphere is that based upon? Because when it is our winter, what's happening down in Paraguay? It's about 110. They're roasting when it's our winter. Of course, we're freezing, right? It's down about 65 degrees, and we've got the coats out, and we're not going outside. Freeze warnings, you know. But when it's our summer, of course, it's their winter. What if we weren't tilted that way? What if when you come back to our tilt angle, what if we weren't tilted that way? How the season's going to work out for us? The sun's, if we're spinning 1,000 miles per hour and it's staying a steady 90 degree angle perpendicular, how are those seasons going to be? Is there going to be any variation? Is there going to be any fluctuation in our seasons? You're going to have very cold winters. You're going to have very hot summers. How in the world did the earth know to do it exactly right? Just by sheer chance, that's what we're supposed to believe. It got the location right, the rotation right, got the orbit right, it got the tilt right. What about the waters? This is fascinating to me, that the earth is covered by 72% water. If you were making a world to put people on it, you're making a world that you are going to inhabit with people. Show me another planet that's got people on it. Can't find one. Okay? So you're making a planet and you're going to put people on it. Now, what are people mostly going to live on? Land, right? I mean, there's a few interesting aquatic individuals, okay? But for the most part, we live on land. So if you're going to make a planet to put people on, how much land are you going to put on this planet? Man, you better put a lot of land there. 28% land, 72% water. I don't know if I was doing it, I might have reversed that. Or probably just to make me happy, I would have gone 50-50, right? Just split it even. You know, that's what you do for your kids. You know, just split it even and shut up. All right, now, so here's just split it 50-50. 72% water. Does that make any difference? I mean, does that make any difference at all? Does it make any difference when it comes to our temperatures? What does water do? What does the 72% of water do for our planet? What does it do? It helps to regulate the temperature. What water holds its temperature? If you were to live in the Sahara Desert, right smack in the middle of the Sahara Desert, not much water there, right? What happens to the temperatures? Maybe you've been there. I've only read about them. What happens to the temperatures in the Sahara Desert? What's happening during the daytime? Man, you're burning up. What happens at night? Does it still stay really burning hot? It gets cold? It's the same place. How can you go from very hot to cold temperatures? There's no water. At least not close by to help regulate those temperatures. So those temperatures are not regulated as close to each other. Now, anybody here live near water? Anybody here live near a big old ocean? How are our temperatures doing? They stay pretty regulated. Now, for the whole planet, we're not talking about just one location. For the whole planet, the temperatures are regulated. It is said that the average temperature on Earth is 56 degrees. That's livable. Maybe not for us, but, you know, for people who don't live in South Florida, that's livable. How does that happen? It happens because there is a planet covered by 72% water that helps to hold and maintain a temperature on this planet. Now, what do we need to breathe in order to exist? Oxygen. We need oxygen. Where do we get our oxygen? We breathe in oxygen. We exhale carbon dioxide. Okay, so that means we are exhaling carbon dioxide. So what I'm exhaling, you don't want to inhale. Okay, so if we're not exhaling anything that's helpful for us, on inhaling the oxygen. Where's the oxygen going to come from? Does it just magically appear? Where does oxygen come from? Plants. What do plants take in? Isn't that interesting? Plants take in carbon dioxide. What do they give off? Oxygen. What do we take in? Oxygen. What do we give off? Carbon dioxide. That's just an accident. Don't let anybody make you believe that there's any design in that. That just is happenstance that it worked out that way. But pretty cool that it did. You know what's interesting about the matter of the earth being covered by 72% water? Where does most of our oxygen come from? Before I asked that question, or was even talking about 72% water, if we were asked the question, where does most of our oxygen come from? Well, all of our oxygen comes from these plants, okay? What plants? Plants that are on land. I mean, come on, what plants are we talking about? Plants that are on the land. It's estimated that somewhere in the high 80s to 90% of the oxygen on Earth comes from plants that are on or underneath the ocean surface. 72% of this globe covered by water. And from that 72%, we get nearly 90% of our oxygen. Is it pretty important to have a lot of water on this earth? Yeah. You know, it's interesting. It's interesting how people get all up in arms about certain environmental issues because of what it might do to our oxygen supply. Here's nearly 90% of it. It comes from the plants in the water. Now, did that just happen? I mean, was it just sheer accident that God made it so that we have a water coverage on this earth that provides the proper moisture? We didn't even talk about the water cycle. You know, and we probably don't have time, but how does that water cycle work? I mean, where does the rain come from? Clouds, duh, okay. Rain comes from the rain clouds. How do the rain clouds get the rain in them? How does this water cycle that's talked about in the Bible, by the way, interesting that the Bible talks about the water cycle, that the water runs into the rivers and they never get full. There's a water cycle talked about in the Bible, but man didn't figure that out until 300 or 400 years ago, figuring out this water cycle. But how does that work? Water evaporates, goes up into the atmosphere, here creates this moisture to the point that it falls back to the earth. What kind of water is out in the ocean? Salt water. Is that by accident? What if there wasn't any salt in the ocean? What if it wasn't salt water? The rain that comes back down to the earth because of the salt that is in the ocean, it helps to balance the alkalinity and the acidity of that rain that comes back down to the earth. Just an accident, though. Just an accident that you have this water cycle that provides moisture. Do we need moisture on the earth, you figure? Regulates the temperature and provides our oxygen. How did the earth know that when all of these land masses are coming up, hold off at 28%. That's all the land that we want, because if we get more than that, we won't be able to sustain life. God got it just right. What about the relationship between the earth and the moon? How far away is the moon from the earth? Good. 200. To approximately 240,000 miles. Did you see the guy out there with his 16-foot measuring tape? You know, okay, I got 16. Let's go another one. Another 16 feet. All right, go another 16 feet. 240,000 miles. Big deal. What does the moon do for us besides give us something to look at? Does it have any effect on us at all? It controls our tides. Does that matter? What if the moon was not there and the gravitational pull that is there in the relationship between these two masses, what if that did not exist and our tides were not regulated the way that they are regulated by the moon? What would happen?
We wouldn't have the flush.
What does that mean? What are the tides? Why do we have a high tide and a low tide? Just so we can figure out when's good snorkeling or diving times. I mean, why do we have that? Why do we have high tide comes in, tide goes back out? What's it doing? Here is a God-made way to cleanse the shoreline, to purge. Mike used the word purge, to purge out all. What if the ocean was just stagnant? You ever seen stagnant water? That's pretty stuff, right? That's beautiful. You know, the smell that it gives off is so refreshing. Why do we need those tides? Keeps everything fresh, keeps everything moving. You think we would have the seafood industry that we have here if it weren't for those tides coming in and going out? But what if the moon and its relationship to the earth, what if you bring it a little bit closer? What if you move it a little bit further away? You want to bring the moon closer? You wouldn't be living here. You wouldn't have oceanfront property. You'd have submarine property if you're going to move the moon a little bit closer to us. How did the moon know? I mean, the moon doesn't have any life on it. You know, it doesn't have its own light source. It's just a rock. How did it know 240,000 miles? How did it know to go there? You get the idea that, you know, you take all of these pieces of evidence and you add them and you add them and you add them. And if you use the brain that God gave you to use, to say that this was just an accident, that's not very smart. I'm not trying to be mean. That's just not very smart. Because if you walked out of one of those classrooms down this hallway and said, "Wow, can't believe the accident that happened in that room. That's the most beautiful room I've ever seen. It just blew up, though." You wouldn't be very smart. And that would be understood. Last little feature of the earth is the atmosphere. And we could go on and on about the features that exist in the atmosphere and what it provides for the earth. But there are a number of ways that the atmosphere helps the earth. Obviously, it helps to balance out some of the essentials on this earth. There's not only oxygen in our atmosphere. What other elements exist in our atmosphere? Oxygen is only like 27-28% of the atmosphere. Most of it is nitrogen. So you have nitrogen, you have oxygen, you have a little bit of carbon dioxide and some other elements. You put all of this together, and what does it do for us? What if our planet did not have this atmosphere? Here comes all of this energy and all of this heat, all of this radiation coming from the sun. What if we didn't have an atmosphere? Bring it on in. We're going to absorb every bit of all of that heat and radiation and everything coming from the sun. We'll bear the brunt of every bit of it. But with that protection layer out there, not only does it protect us from the dangers of the sun, but once the heat gets into our atmosphere, what does the atmosphere do? Keeps it in. Don't you want that? You want that at night, so that when you go to bed and the sun is on the other side, what is the atmosphere doing? It's maintaining a temperature, so that even though we do not have direct contact with the sun because of the atmosphere that covers the entire globe, it's helping to capture that heat. It's obviously helping to scatter the light so that we all can see during the daytime. Are there any meteors that hit our planet? We don't hear about a lot of them because what happens to them? They burn up. No big deal. What if we didn't have an atmosphere? What if we didn't have that friction layer to burn those puppies up? You think we'd have hurricane? You talk about hurricane warnings. Can you imagine meteor warnings? You know, that wouldn't be very fun. Huh? Yeah, we'd look more like the moon than anything. One of the things that's most interesting to me about atmospheric pressure, they say, because I've never measured it myself, atmospheric pressure puts 14.7, or we'll just round it, 15 pounds of pressure per square inch. Atmospheric pressure. Per square inch of your body, there's 15 pounds of pressure on every square inch of your body. You look at your hand. I don't know how big your hand is. You measure your average person's hand. Let's say that just on your hand, forget your fingers. Right? You can keep your fingers, but just look at your hand without your fingers. Here's more than 200 pounds of pressure on your hand right now. And you're not even holding somebody's hand, all right? Nobody's squeezing your hand. Without 200 pounds of pressure right there on your hand, how's that feel? Is that nice? How'd you like to be carrying around 200 pounds of pressure just on your hand right there? But it's not just on your hand. It's over your whole body. And I looked it up this afternoon just to make sure. Our bodies, and I know some of our bodies, how do I say this? Some of our bodies have more square footage than others, okay? So it's going to depend on the body, all right? But the average body, they say, or I'll say Google says, the average body is somewhere around 20 square feet of skin, okay? You go home and measure, you figure out what your square footage is, okay? But the average body has 20 square feet of skin, okay? Multiply that out, 144 square inches, blah, 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 all of that. You measure out for every square inch, there's 15 pounds of pressure on that part of your body, which means that over the entirety of your body right now, there is somewhere around 15 to 20 tons of atmospheric pressure right this minute pressing against your body. How you feeling? I mean, we talked about the earth spinning 1,000 miles per hour and then 60, 70,000 miles per hour and then 600,000. I mean, if you were feeling a little dizzy, okay. Now how you feeling to know that you've got 15 to, you feel this way some days, don't you? You're like, oh yeah, I felt like that last week. 15 to 20 tons. How's your body handling? How does anything handle? I mean, you take 15 to 20 tons, and what's that going to do? Squish it like a grape, right? And squish it even flatter than that. How's your body handling all of that? Isn't it interesting that built within your body is a pressure that is pushing out at the very same level? What an accident. I mean, can you imagine, of all the things that could happen, that there would be that much pressure pushing in on our body, and we just happen to live in a body that's pushing out. Now, you know, some of us may think, well, you know, I wouldn't mind if the pressure pushed in a little bit more and the body pushed out a little bit less, you know, and then that might help out with some, you know, some of the... But how did our body figure out how to push out that much pressure? Here's what they're going to tell you. You evolved. The body did not know how to do that at first. But over millions of years, the body figured out, we got to give more of ourselves to push against this pressure. And so it just eventually worked itself up. How smart do you have to be to believe that? Have to be smart, Troy?
That doesn't make no sense because that amoeba would
be
crushed in the first few seconds.
Yeah. God created Adam. Oops, let me try this again, you know. How does that work? God made us, made the atmosphere, made the earth perfect. How did the earth know to do that much, give that much pressure? How did our body, and we're not even talking about the intricacies of the body, how did the body know? Did all of this happen by accident? Or was there some plan involved? I am supposed to keep you for a couple extra minutes past the kids. That's what I was told. So I still have a couple minutes, regardless of the bells, because the kids are supposed to get their food first. Now, if you don't like that, let me share a little bit something with you, okay? The kids, how do I say this? The cookies have been held for us, okay? And the children are being fed. I think they're getting a cookie, but they're getting something else that's not cookies too. And I feel bad for that, but that's okay. The cookies are being held for the adults, so they're letting the children go first to get their snacks. And once they're to their snacks, then we get to go in and feast on the cookies. So now that you know that, all right, a couple more minutes isn't going to hurt any of us. All right, so here's a question. Design or just an accident? Another question. Design isn't interesting. Here's an iPad. Would anybody look at an iPad and say, man, Bill Gates got lucky. You know, he just had an explosion in the Mac warehouse and boom, he made billions of dollars. You don't believe that for a second about the iPad, and yet what's the picture of? And people say, oh, no. Here's an earth. The details and the intricacies of that are millions of times more complex than the iPad. And we're supposed to believe that the earth, just an accident. Question. Design or accident? The planes themselves. Design? Just accident. The fact that they are flying in formation. They got lucky. I mean, they just sent those chimpanzees up there. And, well, would you believe it? They got in formation. They must have been hungry. How do you figure that these planes, design, got in formation? Design. But we're supposed to believe that that guy sitting right there with a helmet on, he happened by accident. Does that make sense? What about this? Design or accident? Oh, where'd it go? Here we go. Design or accident? Hello. You ever seen this thing? You ever read the history of the building of this thing? Just an accident. Design? Hey, come back. Where'd you go? Where'd it go? Did you see that? Design or accident? That's pretty cool. That just happened? I mean, it just happened that something blew up and, wow, that sort of looks like George Washington. Or at least what my $1 bill looks like. That sort of looks like the guy. And, you know, when I had a $5 bill, that guy looks kind of like the $5 bill. Just an accident? It doesn't happen by accident. I'll share one more thing with you. And I'm going to read this and I'm going to let you go. 26 letters in the English alphabet, right? 26 letters. If you were to write each letter on a card, okay? 26 cards, you write out one letter of the alphabet on each card. If you take those letters that are written on those cards and you just throw them up in the air, throw those cards up in the air. You got 26 cards, 26 letters. Throw them up in the air and let them fall down. What are the chances? Just 26 cards, that's all. What are the chances that 26 cards are going to fall in the proper order? They might fall in the present order of ABCs once in more than 500 million, 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 million times that they are tossed up and come back down again. You got the picture? You're only dealing with 26 elements, 26 pieces of paper, 26 letters. And you throw them up, and what do you want? You just want them to come back down in order the way you learned the song. Okay, that's all that you want. What are the chances that's going to happen? There's the number. The length of time consumed to get this one possible, the number of times you would have to throw them up and down in order for that to happen, the length of time possible, you would have to do that for 2 million, million, million years if we allow a second and a half for each toss. So, nope, nope, Nope. You do that second and a half. You'd have to do that for 2 million years to get it to happen in order one time. And what are we talking about? 26 letters. There's design in our universe that makes the ABCs look like the ABCs. It just makes it look like child's play. If we can't get the ABCs to come down in order, how is it possible that God got the world to come down in order? The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork. You see a house? Every house is built by someone, and He who built all things is God. From the beginning of the creation, from the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are not invisible. They're clearly seen. How can we see that which is invisible? Clearly seen because they are understood by the things that we do see, the things that are made, so that we who have brains that God gave us to use, who have evidence that we can reason through, are without excuse if we don't believe there is a God and that He made all things. Let's bow and pray together, and then we'll be dismissed. Holy Father, thank You. Thank You for making it so abundantly clear to us that You have designed and that You have created the world in which we live. God, help us to never be ashamed to believe in You, to proclaim You to everyone that we meet. Help us to hold on to our faith. Help us to recognize that You are the Creator and the Sustainer of all things. May we put our lives into Your hands and to serve You faithfully every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.